I promised you the next guest that we have is carrying a gun. I had a question of whether do I let the people that are going to save my life if I have a heart attack go first, or do I have the lady with the gun?
Oh, now.
Dana Miller, Valentine Police Chief. Good to see you again.
Good morning.
Got a little drizzle out there.
Absolutely.
It's wet.
It makes us happy that we maybe can have a little fire prevention liquid.
Well, right before the fire prevention liquid. I haven't ever heard a phrase like that before, but leave it to you to come up with a new phrase for me. I'll have to work that into the conversation somewhere.
I have confidence you will.
Anyway, hey, first of all, I want to say thanks for that weekly report that you send to us about all the things you guys do.
Yeah,
it's
well,
we
keep busy.
I know. I thought 84 calls for service, that's low. I mean, normally this time of the year, you're running 120, 140.
Well, it is low, and here is my thought on that. Officer McSweeney has resigned from the police department, so we now are down two officers.
Uh-oh.
So that is reflective of the officer being gone and not responding to calls or checking businesses or anything like that. So
okay.
I think that is what is happening with our statistics.
Okay. So Officer McSweeney went over to the Cherry County Sheriff's Office, so he's still
around.
Still around. So yeah. When you're short two officers, do you have to call on like the Sheriff's Office more often for help around things?
We do. The reason is a lot of times you're solo. Just due to the numbers, maybe somebody's on days off or
sure.
has some kind of sickness. So we do request their assistance, and we always do. We work very well together, and sometimes we reach out to the State Patrol for assistance, and everybody just works together to make it happen.
And it's not easy to get, A, to get an officer, and B, to get one trained and certified, right?
Right. It's a lengthy process. If we hire someone today, with all of the training and the things that we have to do to get them to be ready to rock and roll when they come back, it's roughly a year worth of training. Mm-hmm. And then once that happens, they kind of hang out with another more experienced officer just to make sure that they stay out of the ditches and are doing a good job.
Okay. So currently then there's yourself and Jasmine Hafes and Lieutenant Slama.
And Officer Ormisher.
Brandon, yeah, because I forgot. I knew there's another one. How could I forget Big O? Anyway, so, all right, let's talk about Big O then. Drug Dog, where are we at with, he's been talking to the city council, you've been talking to the city council about the city purchasing a drug dog, but I think it was going to be in next year's budget, wasn't it?
Well, yes, it's we're looking at it go time starting in October. We've been communicating with the dog guy who is in Arkansas. And he said that he will have a dog ready for us kind of early to mid-October. Once that happens, when the dog lands and is ready for Officer Ormisher to show up, that dog will have a lot of training and be prepared to kind of just meet Officer Ormisher, and the dog and him will work on establishing a relationship in order to make sure that those two work together well and that each other knows commands and what is expected of them.
So that's going to be a single-purpose dog? Is that right?
Well, it'll be able to sniff out narcotics, and then it'll be able to track.
Okay.
And the tracking component is mostly going to be for missing individuals.
Which brings me to one of the things you said you want to talk about was we have a missing individual, is that?
We did. This morning we had a missing juvenile. We posted that on Facebook, and we entered that into the national database. The juvenile has been located safe and sound. So
oh, good.
I'm not going to talk about it now.
Okay, we're not. Okay, never mind. We didn't say that.
All right.
Okay. All right, so let's see. Where are we at then? Now you threw me off because I wanted to get more into that. But Drug Dog, we covered that. We talked about what else you need.
You know, why don't we just go ahead and talk a minute about that juvenile?
Okay.
There is a misconception out there that you have to wait 24 hours before you report a missing person, and that is baloney. If you are worried about someone that is missing, you can contact us, and we can begin the process of looking for them, making sure that we spread the word to the communities around us, as well as enter it into a national database. And we can use the social media, and we can just get the ball rolling. There is no need to wait 24 hours to start looking for somebody. A lot of things can happen in 24 hours.
I would think the younger the child, the sooner you should contact. If you spend a few minutes looking, I mean, call. I would be panicking, I guess.
You know, when there's no foul. Let's say that your kiddo falls asleep in the closet and you can't find him, such as my smallest, youngest child did. It's okay to call the sheriff's department, the police department, and get the ball rolling and get some help looking for him. So don't wait.
Yeah, I think that happened to, well, I won't say names, but a grandchild of mine.
Yes.
She curled up and went to sleep somewhere, and her mom couldn't find her. So anyway, so make sure you get that call right away. I mean, if you're panicking, you need help.
That's right. Don't hesitate to call. So, okay. And 911 is you're not wrong to utilize that, but you can also call our non-emergency number, and we'll get the ball rolling and assist you.
Okay. All right. So let's see what else is going on then. What's the job entail for being a Valentine police officer? I mean, what are the benefits? What's the pay scale? That kind of stuff. Let's give us a pitch and try to find somebody out there that wants to be a policeman.
So in the state of Nebraska, you have to be 21. You have to have a high school diploma or equivalent. You have to have had no serious felonies, no major arrest. You cannot show a pattern of disregard for the rules. And then there's a lot of other things that you have to do. And you do have to pass a physical agility test. If you are interested in what that test is, you go to the Nebraska Crime Commission's webpage, click on the training centers link, and it'll have all that lined out for you. What is it like to be a Valentine police officer? Well, obviously, in a small community, you're going to know everybody and you're going to interact with everybody. And Valentine has the same crime, the same element as any larger city. It's just on a smaller scale. When you start, you're going to work nights, holidays, and weekends. That's what happens when you're on the low end, on the totem pole. And with four, we all are working that kind of schedule. So I find that as a police officer in Valentine, it absolutely brings joy. You get to work with the kids. It feels like you're making a difference. And you just know the people that you are serving. And it's nice to know that you can invest that time into the community like that.
So do you ever get people that say, push the fact that they know you personally?
Oh, absolutely.
And go, well, Dana, you know me. I wouldn't run that stop sign every day, maybe once every other day or something. But
absolutely. And I always tell folks, if you name drop, usually you get in more trouble if you don't. So don't throw the, Dana, I know you. Just accept the fact that you didn't stop at the stop sign and now we got a visit.
Yeah, pretty much you know if you did something wrong, you know, what's the old saying? Don't do the crime if you can't do the time or whatever.
Absolutely,
it is.
So, yeah.
So, all right, so we need two police officers to get to a full 6-person roster.
We do. We've been trying different advertising strategies. Our current strategy is to send the job announcement out to every single college in the state of Nebraska and then some colleges that offer criminal justice programs in the surrounding states. So, you know, obviously we're interested in somebody that enjoys the rural environment, understands that you are working and living in the same community, and that it's important a lot of times just to bring attention to the crime and that they should maybe stop that behavior. And sometimes it's you can handle issues without law enforcement involvement. You know, maybe we can work with a parent to deal with an out-of-control juvenile without us getting involved. So, you know, we just want somebody that obviously is honest, has a lot high integrity, and just as willing to invest their time in our community.
All right. Well, what else do we have for the police chief report for this month?
All right. Well, one of the big fun ones, I've dubbed it Women Self-Defense 2.0. The first session is June 25th. It's at 1 o'clock to 4 o'clock out at Mid Plains Community College. You do have to register, and we are only allowing 10 women.
Mm-hmm.
The reason is we are going to do a lot of hands-on training. You will, you're going to get sweaty. You're probably going to get a little rug burn on your elbows. And we're just going to get at it and show the women how to defend themselves in a more aggressive manner.
Make sure you warm up good.
Yeah, okay. You're going to need to stretch a little. And we're going to do a second session in July. That's on the 13th, and that's in the evening, 6 to 9. Again, same thing, 10 women. You got to register. You are going to be expected to sign a waiver just because it is more intense, and there, of course, is a possibility of injury. But we're going to make sure that you are safe and sound.
What's the age bracket on that, would you suggest?
I would suggest middle school on up. It is absolutely not appropriate for anything younger than that.
Okay, so middle school on up should, and if they're a minor, they have to have a parent sign for them.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, the normal. You know, and we'll horribly transition into one of my least favorite projects, and that is mow your grass. It just seems like the police just shouldn't have to run around and tell you to mow your yard. Please get that done weekly. Remember to weed whack the alleys. You are responsible for the alleys. And if you have a ton of grass sticking up through your fence, you have to deal with that too. So grass cannot be over 12 inches. No, we're not going to run around with a ruler. But please... please get that taken care of. It's just, I don't know. It just feels like it's not something that we would like to do. So
it's hard to mow grass that's 10 or 12 inches long.
It is.
Do it when it's 6 inches, and it'll be a lot easier.
Got to get the swather out. So.
Get the swather out, make a haystack out of that.
Yeah.
But there is a city ordinance, and there's a fine involved if you don't, right?
There is. And every day that you are in violation, you could potentially get a citation for that. So that could add up really, really quickly. So just mow. The police will just wave at you and drive on by, and we won't have to worry about each other.
Maybe they're not mowing their lawn just because they like to see you.
Oh,
guys.
My gosh. If they would like to see us, they could just call. We'll swing on
Dana,
by.
Would you stop by?
Yes.
So so this is the time of the year where people can have their boats and campers out on the curbside, can't they?
Yes. Yes.
So we're good with that.
And, you know, the other thing is remember that you probably need to register your boat trailer. We're having a lot of trailers with expired registration. So, you know, it's in the winter, it's out of sight, out of mind,
right.
And you just forget. So on that note, there are quite a few cars in town, whether they're driving or parked out in front of your house, that have really expired registrations. Just take a minute to go look at your vehicle and see if you have forgotten to fix that.
Is there a time limit as far as if you park your camper on the curb and you're unloading it or something, and then but can you leave it parked there for the rest of the summer, or do you need to have it out of there in a few days and out of?
Well, according to city ordinance, it has to be moved every 7 days. That's what the city ordinance says. We clearly understand that it sometimes takes a little time to get things cleaned out, loaded, that kind of thing. So,
but if it's not causing a traffic hazard, if it's not blocking a line of sight from an intersection or something like that, or sticking out too far into the roadway, it's not a major deal, is it?
Well, I can't
yes,
give
is.
You permission to violate any laws.
Right.
I just want you to know we recognize
our culture.
Yes. So okay. Without saying anything that's going to get me into trouble, I hope you are reading between the lines.
Okay. There we go. All right. What else is on your little, you brought a whole 3-inch by 3-inch sheet of paper with
I
notes
did.
On it. So.
Oh, we're trying to decide whether National Night Out is going to be something that we are able to do. So we'll be communicating with the city pool. I actually have the first responder challenge in my head ready to go. So it's just a matter of making sure that we can pull the event off. We are short-staffed, so we don't want to be engaged in a community event and not be able to handle other calls within the city of Valentine. So
you don't want to get into a challenge with the fire department that requires 6 people.
Correct. Correct. So we just want to make sure that we can have fun, yet make sure town is covered with law enforcement officers, and it's kind of, we're just having early discussions about it. You can potentially save July 26th as the National Night Out Day. Of course, if everything works out, it'll be at 6 o'clock up to the pool. We hope to have all kinds of shenanigans that kids can participate in, and then go into the pool, have the first responder challenge, And as usual, the police department is going to try to win, but alas, we never do.
Maybe if you could get a six-person challenge, then you could go recruit two people, and they could boost your athleticism.
Yeah, I happen to know officers with Game and Parks and National Park Service that could potentially help us out. So we're not above cheating to win this program. So fire department, this might be our year.
Just maybe. Are you having any issues with traffic surrounding Main Street project, detours? And
no, I think everybody's kind of adjusted. Third and Cherry occasionally makes you want to shut your eyes. People get moving right along and don't see the stop sign. Daryl with the state, we've been working with him. He kind of did a little readjusting with the stop signs, so they stick out a little better, and that has helped immensely. But we have occasions with some near misses at that intersection. Otherwise, it seems to be moving pretty well.
I think they're about ready to reopen 3rd Street across Valentine, and I think a lot of people will be anxious to see that street back opened east to west.
Yeah, they're moving right along, so it hopefully will accomplish that in record time.
You stop by and tell Daryl Lurs that he's supposed to come do a radio interview. I've been trying to get Daryl into, he's avoiding me now, trying to get him to come in and talk about the progress being made, some of the things that have come up, or and those kind of things, because, of course, they're ahead of schedule at this point, so which is good. That's good. All right. Anything else, Chief?
No. I just, of course, always want to throw out to you that if you see something, say something, give us a call at 402-376-3055, and we would love to have a visit with you.
All right. Chief, thanks for coming in. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Have a good rest of your week.
Valentine Police Chief Dana Miller has been our guest on this portion of the comment program.